Yeah, unfortunately. Oh. No, that's not it. No, it's not even similar. That doesn't look like I said at all.
But it's a basement.
Well, I told. That Saba Josh was a shayla of Hachona, whether he was allowed to gargle all day today, or whether it's a Shabbos. Also, we have a very big night coming up here. Do you need some extra time, or you're okay?
No, it's all right.
It's all right. Good. Okay. Good. And so today's daf is daf Nim Zayin. Shabbat Parashat Va'arotecha. And the last thing that we learned is the whole new approach. A whole new approach to understanding our Mishnah. That the Mishnah, Libet Rabbi Shimon, the Kiddush of the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to move the Ner because of the fact, strangely enough, it's considered to be a Basis of the Raha Asur for the flame. And even though the flame itself is on top of the Ptila, which is on top of the Shemen, which is on top of the Ner, there are many who are Medayik from here, that therefore there's a Basis, Libasis, Libasis, the Davar HaAsur, and so on. Others are Cholik, because over here clearly it's all one system. So it makes sense to say that the thing that's on the bottom is considered to be a Basis to the thing that's all the way on the top, because they're interrelated. Does that necessarily mean that if you have, let's say, this is a common situation, you have a tray. You put the meirot on top of a tray, and then you put the tray on top of the table. Does the table become now a basis of davar asur? It's as many steps away as this thing is over here. Unfortunately, of course, we paskin that it does, but that's based on a diak and rashi later. You can't move the table. Nonetheless, you're allowed to eat on the table, because again, if there's no pressure moving, there's nothing wrong with using.
Even if something else was on the table?
Well, that becomes the question of Basis Adavar Asur Vamutah, which we'll talk about actually today is going to be our main topic. But this raises the other question. Again, what about moving, the mashma'ut of this is that there wouldn't be a chash of Shema Yechaber. And there wouldn't be an actual Dabra Asr, that there's a Basis too, that it ought to be not a problem, the flaw, since we do Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon and Mukza. If there's no Basis at all, so then even though he's, let's say we have an electric, somebody brought up the question of an electric lamp, an electric lamp. And we have many similar things, by the way. Mm-hmm. About electric lamps, you have these electric heaters. You move on to your electric heater. You have an electric. You have an electric blanket. It's even worse. You have an electric kettle.
You think the object itself is something, or?
Well, in the heater, you could say that the thing is a basis for the inside. I mean, say nachinami. Reb Meisha says that mikra then really is mutter. You can move a lamp also if it's on a table lamp. So. After it goes out. The only thing is that since people really can't, you can't start explaining to people that there's a difference between electrical lights and other lights. It's just awesome, whatever. We'll leave it awesome. But in Akinami, those things where it isn't clearly something that people identify as the equivalent of an air heater, In Akinami, you can move that on Shabbos, move it around. Certainly, if the Kli itself, let's say it's an electric blanket, yeah, it's true, it's about electric blankets, so there certainly would be no problem with electric blankets.
He's rolling radiators.
Yeah, another good one. Yeah. Another very good example.
What was the relationship
between Kisra and Kisra? Sorry?
That we mentioned last time,
Kisra and Kisra. No, that's something that you covello, Markham, that you don't want to use, you don't want to move it. Table lamp, okay, that would be something. As the din of the Isser, because of Basis of Abarash. There's no basis of Dabra Asur. Okay, so let's continue on over here. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Omer Rabbi Ruminus, but the one we're going to focus on is the weak link in this chain. The weak link is Rabbi Yochanan. He's going to be the weak link. We got quite a chain over here. Li hitir Rabbi betaptel machtab ofa. That Rebbe said, I could move around the machta, which is used for the incense, which at that time was very, very common. It was incense for the god and incense at the end of the Seuda and so on. And the Shaila is that there's ash left over. The ash is moksa. And the shovel is a basis of davarasa, the ash. So it's a davar now that's moksa in it. It shouldn't be movable. And yet, we find over here that Rabbi Zera is quoting Rabbi Ruminus as saying that generations ago Rabbi was martyred for him to move this around. So Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Asi, how could Rabbi Yochanan have possibly been part of that chain? Yomer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Vatznan, Notel Adam Beno, Ve'evan Be'adam. We have a mission in it. Says a person is allowed to lift up his child, even though the child is holding a rock. O Kalkalar, for that matter, he can even lift up a tray that has an Evan in it. So, Amar Ra, and so far that sounds great. The problem is that Amar Rabba Barbachan and Rabbi Yochanan, we're only talking about a Kalkalam Leapirotaski. That since this is a serving platter, it's got a lot of different things on it that are edible. So therefore, you're allowed to move it, even though there's also something that is not movable, such as the stone. This doesn't become a basis of Tavar Asur, because there's things that are very choshev in it, and therefore it's not tafel. The whole meaning of the basis becomes tafel to that which is on it. But certainly over here, we're going to say that the basket or the serving platter is batel to the stone. I mean, the main thing here is the perot, not the stone. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan is essentially saying that without that, alet b'perilo, without that, you're not going to be allowed to move it. So how could Rabbi have possibly allowed Rabbi Ruminus, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to move a shovel that only was filled with ashes? Ishtomim kishachar, boy, that really caught him off. Ishtomim kishachar is absolutely in shock. Good Lord, we have to think of that. So that's based on a pasuk in Daniel, in which when Daniel heard the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he was pretty much in shock. What does it mean? Tell me, you got to tell me. Of course, that was the reaction of Nebuchadnezzar. So here he's silent for a moment. He's in shock. And then he realized there may be a way out of this. You know what? We'll have to understand that Rebbe was Mata Rebbe Ruminus to move that machta because it had leftover unburned livona in it, or whatever spice it usually burned. And therefore that was still usable, and therefore it was a basisa davar asurva mutar. And you could move it just like the kalkalasha perot that had perot in it. Omer Abaye, that's not a very good teretz. You're saying that the I mean, what you're saying is that even though it's full of ashes, but the fact that there's a few usable, how do we say?
Pellets.
We actually use a carrot kind of in it, but grains. Yeah, like, there's like a few grains of avon. I mean, kratinte rebi bi chashive. Well, yeah. When you're telling me in Rebbe's house, somebody like didn't pay attention to the fact that there were grains there. Remember?
Grains.
Okay. So why would it be kosher? And maybe you'll tell me, okay, it's not kosher to him, but I mean, it's kosher to other people. Maybe that's the way we should define it, by some sort of basic level of kashivut, not defined by the individual particularly using. Sveitema chazula aniyim v'yatanya. Big day aniyim. Big day ashrim la ashrim. We have the shiur of 3x3 for tuma of etzbaot versus 3x3 of tvachim. which for Ashirim is a beged only if it's 3x3 tefachim. But aniyim la Ashirim lo. And I say because a beged is roy, this is a guy between his midras dynastasis, which we have to define it as the beged. So there it's actually defined by your actual usage. So here with the same thing, and it's, you're going to say something that's roy for ani to an ashir, in Rebbe's house, shouldn't be fashion. Now, of course, this runs counter to the Tosfos that we spoke about before, about the woman who made the neder. Remember that the whole problem that Tosfos had was if a woman makes a neder, and the Gemara asks, how could she be so sure that her husband's going to be matted a neder on Shabbos for her? And therefore what? No, so she's not sure. And therefore, even though he would be matted a neder, the things that she would have wanted to eat, she can't eat anyway because it's muksa. And Tosef says, what do you mean? I mean, just because she's not going to eat it doesn't mean it's muksa. It's right for somebody else to eat. And here the Gemara seems to be running against his whole assumption. I mean, Tosef has to say over there, it's talking about the chiatzit on Kuli al-Mekahegdash or other, but the idea is that min hastam, we would have assumed that something that's right to someone. So why over here would we say by Rebbe not? And indeed, there's some Rishon who argue with Tosfos based on this and say, you see clearly from this Gemara that your own personal usage is what's going to define the usability of the thing. This Machlokas has brought up a guy with a question on medication. It's obviously not necessarily applicable because we know that medication is considered to be usable by anyone since anyone could be sick. But anyway, this becomes part of the Shilas and Shuvas about is there a din of muktzah on medicines for someone who isn't sick. Lemaisa, of course, it's possible to say, the Chazon Ish suggests, it depends on the standard. In Rebbe's house, lemaisa, they would dump it. In other words, if this one, we're assuming a person has food, we're going to dump the food, we'll give it to somebody else. So over there, Tosfos is bothering them. Maybe they're not even arguing. Fine, it's because
of the nature of the household.
Exactly. But when it comes to cloth, you're going to pick it out of the garbage, you take out the little pieces from the burn, it's not going to be done. If lemaisa, it's not going to be done. You certainly can't say it's considered to be a basis of davara asur mutar because my machshava is on this kratim. So therefore, it says Abaye, I have a better approach. Elam Rabaye, I say the reason you can move out the shovel of the incense is meaning to have the idea of shorei. Are you allowed to take out a chamber pot on Shabbat? Now, certainly that should be muktzah. What in the world do you do with the contents of a chamber pot? The reason that we allow you to move it out is because it's disgusting. So as the Chazal were never gozer on a situation, we're going to force you to leave something disgusting in your home because it's muktzah to move it out. So when gozer on it over, that's...
Isn't that itself a reason for
Muslim? Muslim Fine. Yeah, but that over here is a reason but after to allow you to take it out. You're right, it is. So this also becomes essentially it's something that's unpleasant. It makes you uncomfortable having you're leaving ashes around. And therefore you can take it out. Amar Rava says, Rava, I love the way you make these leaps. Shtei tshuvot, but there's two ways which have nothing to do with anything. First of all, a derev shere is disgusting. You're telling me that a shovel full of ashes is disgusting. It's just troublesome. You'd rather get rid of it. But it certainly isn't disgusting. How do you know that there was no gezer of mukta on something that isn't disgusting? Now, broaden the category of derev shere to something that is just uncomfortable to have around. That's number one. High low minds. Furthermore, a gerev shorei is mikli. So it's an uncovered pot, the chamber pot. Over here, the way in which the tool is used usually is there's a cover over it. You light it, and then there's little holes that scatter the smell from the top. This is a kli in Barnea's neighborhood. His eyes are lighting up. I can tell. And therefore, it's a. There we go. There's always a little lead time, so it needs an introduction.
Why should that make a difference?
What?
Why should that make a difference?
You don't see it.
Things that are not exposed are certainly much less likely to be considered a derev shorei, right? Elam Rava, look, if you're looking for another answer, I mean, your kratim issue is a valid issue. Your alternative explanation is a lousy explanation. I think, this goes very nagal or chalamaisa, is we often have situations that many people are matir as Gerev Sharei situations, which occur from here, are not Gerev Sharei situations. Such as, types of things you leave on your table and so on. Shiloh, you could take them off because it's disgusting. I mean, Lamais from here, Robert Steiner's is not disgusting. And there's been a lot of pumas over the generations. But how far to extend the idea of Gerev Sharei? Robert's taken is pretty definitive about that, that it's something that doesn't have elements of disgust in it. Okay, I mean, that garinim that people spit out, that's more disgusting. You know, okay, it's already, it's not clear exactly what the limitations are. And there's other eitzes of tilach or yad or some ketzroi from achal beima, and that might still be used. And since people eat garinim are those kind of people, you know, they Elam Rab, I'll tell you. You have a basic mistake in the whole thing. There's no muktzah here. That's the point. There isn't any muktzah. You're saying there's a basis of davarasa. What's a davarasa? The ash? The ash is perfectly usable on Shabbos. Because the standard was to use ash to cover things that couldn't be washed on Shabbos. So we use that. Somebody spit on the floor, he put some ash on it. So therefore, it's considered to be mukhan. I understand what the problem is.
Even though it didn't exist there of Shabbos.
It did exist there of Shabbos. We're understanding this as not having been mukhtzah for some of the time. But rather, the only problem was the question of basis, not mukhtzah matamas isur. Just like the case that we're talking about in our mission.
Sawdust.
Basically, the way we would use sawdust in certain places. Exactly. And industrially do that all the time. In garages oil and so spills. On, oil spills, you just spill sawdust over it, they use kitma. So this was roi agav the kitma. Therefore, says Rava, I could tell you how local am I, sir. When we were by Reb Nachman, we always used to be allowed, avimetalinam kinuna agav kitma. Now the kinuna is the equivalent of our little space heaters. Well, they had space heaters, obviously then they weren't electrical, they put in like a little bit of coal. And you can move it from place to place.
Warmer,
warmer. Yeah. Still use them. Same principle, room warmer. And when it burned out, and there was still ash in it and so on, we were allowed to move it. They said we could move it because of the kitma, because of the ash. But the ash is considered to be usable. And the chiddush was, what's the chiddush? The chiddush was, the chiddush over here is that when he said Rebbe allowed as a shot, even though we have, or in that case, there's a little bit of broken pieces of wood that haven't burned, or in this case, there was still things that were not actually usable. But Adarabba, the kitma, was what was right. So what's saying is that even though there may be shivrei etzim that are not usable on Shabbos, but you have a basis of davar asur v'amutar. The mutar was the kitma. Not the asur was the kitma. And that's what Rabbi Ruminus was saying. Ask Gemara, how can you say that? Mesve, the shavim, here is fascinating halacha, that even though Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue about the din of our Mishnah, of Muktzah v'machmas mius, of the ner yoshan shalcheres, but they agree, their shavim, that in a case where Shivrei Ptilah fell into the Nair, that then even Rabbi Shimon's made it, that you can't be metaltalah. Because since we've already established that the din is that you have a basis for davar ha'asur, and that's the reason he doesn't allow you to move it when it's burning, the Ptilah is also considered to be, remains now, the useless. So if it has Shivrei Ptilah in it, Rabbi Shimon has also made it that you can't move it over there because it was never, the ner was never, the fire was never bought. Almost becomes now basis, the Devar Asur. In this case, the Devar Asur is to the rock, so to speak, to the Ptilah. You have broken Ptilah?
This is burnt on Shabbos, or is it still from
Shabbos?
No, now, it's in it right now. Who cares? Before it was a basis to the shalheva, and it remains a basis because it's shivet tilin. So it never becomes mutter. And it's just so, why, what's the problem? I mean, that there's a little bit of oil left over also. I mean, so what's, why, it's, you're telling me here that everybody agrees it's also a tatel? Why isn't that, so the question is what we're focusing on. Rashi learns that the focus is over here on the fact that lemaisa, this ptila, should not be considered to be chashuv, since it's only like little broken materials. And the answer, according to him, is that begalila shanu. We're talking about in the Galil. Rashi, as Tosis points out here, has this shita throughout Shas, that whenever we contrast the Galil to anywhere else, it's contrasting it because in the Galil they were poor. And therefore, the tilot over here, they didn't have access to a lot of pishtim, which was the standard for the tila. And because of that, even shivrei ptila wouldn't become batal.
They'd reuse them.
And they would reuse them. Tosis brings many riyas, and on the contrary, in the Galil, they were rich. And he got, there's different things throughout Shas where Tosis keeps arguing with Rashi. Adarab, but they were richer in the Galil, not poorer in the Galil.
Because they
kept using them. They were different. Yeah, that's what they say. That's how I got rich.
Many saved.
That's right. So Tosis says, on the contrary, the point over here is that the oil, normally you'd say, okay, so but the oil is usable. So what's the difference if there's a little bit of tila? So it's the basisa davaras v'amutan. Ah, but in the Galil they had so much oil that oil was bottled. So the Mela, you were left with the ash of something that was burning on Shabbos. You can't use now. So therefore, not ash, but actual broken tila. So it remains a basisa davaras. Levi bar Shmuel Ashkechino the Rav Abba the Rav Huna bar Chia. Avi kama piskah the Rav Huna. Levi bar Shmuel finds Rav Abba Rav Huna bar Chia, and there in front of Rav Huna's door. And the shaila was, you allowed? I mean, apparently they're coming in for staying over Shabbos. You know, he wants to know, you allowed to put together a folding bed on Shabbos. So he says to them, Ma'ol la'hachzer mita shel tarsi. Now the problem is Tosis is machalik earlier. The folding bed may be mutter, but a bed that you have to screw the pieces together are also. The mita shel tarsiim was, at least we thought, was talking about where it needed to be screwed together. And therefore, he wanted to know whether there was a chashash of your maybe makabah pakish. Even if you don't hold yesh binyan b'tevi.
Putting it together?
Putting it together.
Not taking it apart?
No, putting it together.
Why is it called lahakshir?
Lahakshir means to put it back together. Like we say, back together. Relay shopping, I mean, no problem. That's what kind of review, no? So they went to review, they told him what he told them. Say, well, I don't know what they're talking about. They're all Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Darmi Tavayel, Amar Tzim Mitzi Shotarzi B'Shabbat Chayav Chatat. Forget about it. Shaila Mitzi Drabonin. It's just a deraisa. It's real Maka B'Patish. Meitvei Amar Zir Tnei Minora B'Shabbat. Chayav Chatat. Kenei Sayadin Lo Yavzir. Im Yechzir Patur Aval Asur. So here, we first introducing for the first time some subtleties in this. It's not all that simple. If you're talking about putting together a lamp in which you can add pieces, and you have more people, you can add, we talked about the menorahs, the kamotim, and where you could screw in additional pieces. They sell these for, you know, if you're going to have more children, you need another lamp, you can keep adding. No, seriously, we would, you know, they have it, it starts off as a single thing, and then they've got a two piece, and a three piece, and a six piece. So if you screw in a kaneh on this menorah, you're chayav chatat, because this is mamash the makeh b'patish of this thing. And so, what possible way out of it? It's a kaneh shel sayadin. Kaneh shel sayadin is basically a paint roller. So paint roller, you have an extendable paint roller, in which simply add extra pieces. When you're doing the ceiling, you add extra pieces to get to the ceiling. And you can reach the dome. As you get down, you have to unscrew it because you can't use a big cleat to take care of the wall underneath. But what this means is that as you move, you're constantly taking out and adding pieces. You can't call that makabapatish, Because there's nothing, there's no standard size. If I say, I now have completed it. Right. You never complete it. It needs to be changed all the time. That's not called macropathy. You could say it's similar to binyan and so on, asif and rabbanan, but certainly you would be potter, because it's meant to be constantly changed. So imegzir potura balasur. Rabbi Simoi has an additional interesting case, in which he says, keren agula chayav, and keren pshuta patur. Now, the keren was basically, this is a fascinating thing, it was basically a base for an instrument, a wind instrument. As a keren, you couldn't make much more than one sound with it. But it had holes in it that allowed you to screw in extensions that would make it like more like a clarinet, which would be able to play the extensions. So there's two types. There's the keren agula, which is a professional musical instrument, and then you would actually screw in the pieces depending on what you wanted to use it as, a flute or a clarinet or a saxophone. So this was the basic round keren. And then you had a type which was a keren pshuta. Over there, you played it like a chalil, in which you could stick in that extra piece on the bottom of the chalil to extend the range a little bit. So just like a stick-in piece, that already was not considered to be, you know, a kli that required tightening and so on. So over there, if it's a keren agula, so there you would mamish bichayim, because that's a maaseh uman. That's the way in which you... Yeah.
But it's used to take it apart.
No, this is that kli. You could change it and turn it. They had a bass wind instrument, which you could turn into the instrument that you decided to play. Certainly not a Kanashel Tarsian.
The next thing you want
to
play.
Well, you may sell it to somebody who will use it as a saxophone instead of a clarinet. Yeah,
it's not like
but it's not the kind of. No, no, no.
Take it apart.
No.
I want to play this.
It's not like a fret. On a, yeah. So, Mashenkin, if it's a simple Karen. Well, over there, you're just meant to be moved in and out and so on. That's not an issue. So that's the Rabbanan asked it because of the similarity. But, I mean, there's nobody who they really... How in the world did they say it's mutter? Nobody here is matir putting together something. I mean, even if they want to say it's more similar to a Karim, sure, certainly not mutter. They want to say it's a mutter l'chatchila. They seem to really have been wrong. No, they have a source. Inu domar ki haitana. Actually, they were posturing like Rav Shimon, as we'll see. Detanya malbeinota mita ukraota mita ulvachim shel skivas lo yachzir v'mechzir patur. Now, if you have things that are malbeinot, are little, you know, in the carpeting where you have a little cup on the bottom of the mita that allows you put a mita down so that it doesn't scratch the floor or doesn't make a... Yeah, that's the type of... What do they call it?
Caster.
Casters. Casters don't have to be moved around.
Different kinds.
Same, but... Because they call the wheel ones also casters.
The round ones are called casters, but it could be they come in different...
Okay, but yeah, but that type of thing. So that's on Shabbat, or for that matter, kraota mina, which are extensions, or levachim shaskivas, which is the little piece of wood that you put into your bow when you want to shoot an arrow. It has that little indentation. So it prevents the arrow from ultimately eating through the bow. So it's like that little piece where you have like the many bows, they make them with like a little reeds around the middle. You know, there's always a little bit around the middle to protect it. So here they had replaceable ones. Yeah. So if you put that in, you know, on Shabbos, you shouldn't put it on Shabbos, but even if it's your potter, abalasser. Now, you have to be very careful in the cases that if you do such a thing, not to screw it in. But im takar chayav chatat, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, im haya rafui mutar. And this is who they were relying on. If it's not something that is similar to actually building it and screwing it in, it's just a piece. It says, we were talking about that we had earlier in the parrot. If you're talking about something that doesn't even come out, like our bed. You just let pull it up. So it's not that you put together two pieces. That is mutter. See, if it's something that's loose, it's not meant, b'klal, to ever be screwed in. And therefore, it would be mutter l'chatchila. Just that Tosfos learns over here that it's not a, it's difficult to believe, says Tosfos, that we're talking about a machloket min hakatzeh al hakatzeh. That one says you'd be chayav chatas, the other one says you'd be mutter. Even the chatchila, he's saying it in a different case. I mean, if, like Maisa, it's a type of thing which doesn't have that option of doing it befuska, and it's meant to be roughly, so then it should be mutter. That's what they were talking about in Mita Shel Tarsi. And that's what it matters, the chatchila. The Rav Chama, Avi Mita Galal Mita, Avi Mahad Alei Miyomatava. He had basically a portable bed. It was similar, Rashi says it's the same type of thing. Tarsim or tinkerers, they go from place to place. They set up basically the equivalent of their, what we would have as a sleeping bag. You know, so they carry around on the Mita Shel Tarsi. So he had a Mita Galal Mita.
Like an army cot?
Yeah, it's like an army cot. And Avi Mahad, on Yantav, he would put it together. Omaleyahu Mirabona Lerova. Why is this mutter? My daiter, because maybe you're talking, it's binyan min atzad. In other words, you're not really doing it.
It's a kli, isn't it?
Yes, but we'll see later on some machlokes in Yesh binyan mikael. But even not Rashi learns the issue in this sugya throughout is even referring to ein binyan mikael as makav upon. So, I mean, even if you tie it to Minatzad, every Minatzad need these Surdi and Raita Lekha. I mean, there's still an Issa Rabbanan. Over here, why are they being martyred? Or Marle Anna, Gripshim, Riyam Yisrael. Yama Ima Yarafui Mutar. The issue isn't over here that it's Minatzad. The issue is that something that is meant to be constructed in this fashion without binyan, it's meant to remain loose, that it's foldable, openable, and closable. Is not considered a chalal to be shayat, not to makiv afatish, not to binyan, and therefore it's mutter even lechatchila. Notnin kli tachat haner lekabel nitzotzot. This was the mishnah we had quoted earlier to distinguish between the shemen and the ner. So here it says you could put a container underneath the ner to allow the nitzotzot to land in them. Now even if you hold, according to the Shita and Rav Chisda, that in kli nital el tzor dover hanital, we'd have to be mechalik that this is called, as the Gemara said, hatzala mitzuyah. Mashenka, in the case of the shemen, is hatzala she'ena mitzuyah. This is a little bit strange. So Tosus' explanation over there was that the problem with the shemen is that it's so mitzuyah that everybody takes care of it before Shabbos. Nobody puts a lamp on a tablecloth because everybody takes into consideration it's going to drip. You always put something under your lamp. Masha Enkin, where you have an issue of, you know, little pieces that can go floating over your table, say, you know, of burning ash. People don't think of that. They'll put something directly under. They won't, you know, worry about it until it actually happens. They see it happening, they get worried. So then it's already likely that it wasn't done before Shabbos, but it's certainly included in something that is mitzuyah. So Rav Chisda would have been mocked in that case as Hatzalah mitzuyah. So over there we spoke about it. What about if you hold Eimavat and Klim Hechano? That's a problem. So we answered it over there, and we're going to go through that again here. If you hold that there's an issue of Eimavat and Klim. So then we said that because of the Tzotzot, do not have any Mamashut Beklov to Asr the Kli. So it doesn't become a basis of the Barasu. But, and here's the new thing we didn't talk about before, lo yiten atoch mayim. You can't put water in that dish. Repeshu mechabeh. Because he's going to cause the burning ash to be extinguished more rapidly than otherwise. So let's start at the beginning. We'll talk about it now. V'kabavata kli mehechano. Again, we raised the issue that we already went through. What's the heter to do this? As we explained earlier, we don't view nitzotzot as creating yisur in the kli, so the kli remains movable. That's interesting, because there's a big machlokus later on whether you're allowed, in the event of a fire, can you fill up containers with water so that when the fire reaches the containers, they burst from the heat, releasing the water to put out the fire. So, I mean, over here, the Stam Mishnah seems to be saying that even though that's a gram kivui, it's only a goring, the fire came to me. I'm just sitting here. I mean, so that is also. So are we going to say now, lema trans stavak rav yosi, doma goring le kivui asur? Is that the point of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, what's the matter with you? I don't think this has anything to do with rav yosi. But this brahim rav yamar rav yosi b'shabbat. But rav yosi said, rav yosi, we're talking about on Erev Shabbos, that matter Shabbos. Rav Yossi in a million years never would have dreamt, nobody would have discussed it, Rabbanu wouldn't have discussed an issur to put up a firewall in the event there's a fire on Shabbos, that I can't put it up before Shabbos. And here we're talking about before Shabbos. The Chitena, no, maybe we're not. Maybe it means if there's a plate there, don't pour water on the plate, and then have whatever falls into the plate go out. Maybe that's what it means. No. It's not what it means, because the Braisa says about Tanya, Notnim kli takat aner lekabel nitzotzot b'shabbat, ve'in tzarik lomar be'erev Shabbat. So obviously you could put the kli down before Shabbat. But lo yiten lo tocho mayim mipnei shu mechaber, even on Erev Shabbat. Ve'in tzarik lomar b'shabbat. Now, that can't possibly be because of Gram Kibui. There's no Yisr Gram Kibui in Erev Shabbat. It's crazy. I mean, we're allowed to do anything on Erev Shabbos, as long as it does itself. That would be like setting up a Shabbos clock. No, Yisr Shabbos setting up a Shabbos clock over here. Setting up the Shabbos clock is that when it gets heated to a certain level, it opens and puts out a fire. What's wrong with that? Classic.
Genius idea. Great idea.
Yeah. You know the old...
It's called a sprinkler system, huh?
Yeah, the weather sprinkler system, which we had also earlier. The early Shabbos clocks were actual wind-up clocks. Because all the old electrical bulbs were always turned off. No, before they installed those things, you pulled the string. So you would tie the string to the thing that went around in the back. So then when the clock went off, the wind-up thing starts turning, and it pulls, and it would wrap around the string. The string would pull the light off. So, mamash
clock. When is this?
When?
20s.
Yeah, in New York, in the Amalgamated. That's what they use. So, why would it possibly be us as Gram Kiwi? So that can't be the explanation. Elo Amar Rav Ashi, will have to say this is a whole different issue over here. Afilo Teber Rabbanan, Shanei Halcha Mipnei Shemikarevet Kivuyo. First thing we have to do is we have to note the difference. To say that I put something in a container which will open when there's a fire, I understand that that's not a problem. Certainly before Shabbos, not a problem. In fact, maybe it's a grama on Shabbos, but certainly it's not a problem before Shabbos. The question over here is, since the water, there's no intermediate step. Because I'm putting the water in a place in which it's now, will be mechaber immediately. If lamaisa, the wick falls into it, then it's going to be mechaber directly, not by causing something to break, which then... So this is, no, not secretion, direct, not called grom. It's not grom, it's direct Hebrew. Now obviously, there's no issur in doing that before Shabbos either. This is only a gezeira in which we're afraid that if we're mocking you to do this before Shabbos, so you'll think, okay, I mean, I'm not really doing anything right now, and therefore you'll do it on Shabbos itself. Is that so terrible? It's also not so clear. The way Tosfos understands it is that if you do it, we allow you to do this kind of thing, you could do it to show that the thing is falling. And there's, you take a cup, you're about to pour it into the thing, a wick falls at that point, and you pour it in, so then your mamish being mechaber as it's coming in. Or, the natural tendency would be, says Tosfos, to lift up the plate to catch the wig. But then if you lift up the plate, then that's literally kibbutz, because then you're bringing the water to the flame rather than the flame just going into the water by itself. So that's mamish kibbutz. So mainly we answered this as sort of a gezerah, all one big gezerah. Don't play with the fire on Shabbos, so to speak. Okay, so that's nothing to do with grom kibbutz.
Put your candle in a glass of water, so when it gets down to a certain level, it'll be put out automatically to save the candle. Is that
that's the stage? You can't do that. This is the whole shaila of the.
The candle itself, right? Same thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the question of floating. This is the shaila about the floating oil on water.
Save the oil.
Because over there, it's nothing to do with kibbutz, really. It just runs runs out of the oil. Saying that's the tainas, that there's no interest in kibbutz, and perhaps no kibbutz. Because lamaise, until the shemen is used up, the water isn't mechab anything.
It shouldn't make a difference.
Possibly. Because some of them act
it. Now it's the case that it's strong candle.
No, but many people use oil.
Still use
oil. Sure. Hadran Allah. Wait. There we go. Hadran Allah. Hira.
I'm going to Heilige Perek.
It was worth waiting for. Now, we spoke before about the question of Hatmana. We've spoken about Shia at length, and we've spoken about Chazora at length. How about Hatmana, which we only touched on for a moment over there? And we said before that you can't be Matmana, and we only touched it because we said the Shlosh Advarim that you're supposed to say, and we got into the question of things that you could do Bein HaShemashot, and okay, so we got into that whole thing, and we just spoke about it for a moment, that we have a Gezerah, that we're afraid that you may end up being Matmin Beremetz, and if you're Matmin Beremetz, it's hot coals, there's a possibility that maybe you'll come with a Chitui. Actually, we're going to talk, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I just want to begin the parak here. There's a whole really different approach to the whole Hatmana issue, by the, according to the Rambam. So what type of things are considered to be Mosif Hevel that we said before? You cannot be Tomein. Remember, at a big machlok is what is Hatmana? Is Hatmana the covering up to some extent of a pot? Whereas Hatmana, the complete covering of the pot. Tosha's kept the system. It's either complete or it's not Hatmana. But one thing is for sure, it has to be up against the pot. It's certainly not Hatmana. That's Hashaya. No, you know, I say every Shahiyah is Hatmana because there's something hot next to it. Let's say, if you hold Lamaisa, that you don't need to cover the whole thing. So then what is the difference? Is the difference only the fact that since it's on top of the kira, so now it's exposed to the air, so it's going to cool off. So how about if I put it into a tanur? We never asked it for the reason. I mean, if the tanur was garuf and katun, all we're doing it is leaving it there. Why isn't that hatmana? Because there's a tremendous difference between something that's up against the pot, where over there you can have this gezeira from the yachta b'chol and so on and so forth, or something which is the kli that keeps things out.
Empty space.
Exactly. So a lot of these things that look like hatmana, I don't know if they still do, but it was very popular to have ovens that had a little thing on top. It was called the well. A well in the oven. You would lower the pot into the well and it would stay there for a long time. You had the old chamber stoves where it was very, very popular. You keep things warm for a long time and so on. And my grandparents used to use it, or she was at Tzal Paskin, it was okay, because there was no negia in the side of the pot. So it's basically a tanur, that's all it is. So Hatmana for sure needs that. Shailas doesn't have to be all around. Okay, that we saw the machlokas.
You say all around, but it definitely does. But does, even if it's all around, it doesn't have to be the time. That's part of the flow, isn't it?
Yes, but Lamaisa, we're machmer. It's completely mechusa all around.
Completely
mechusa. Was that the question?
Except
with the clock? Yeah, we'll talk about it again when we get to the details. So what are these things? Ein tom nim lo begefet. And we already spoke about gefet. Gefet is the leftovers of the pressed olives, which remain hot for a long time because they are slowly oxidized. So you can't, that's called mosif hava. We said you can't put in something that's mosif hava because we're afraid of atmana beremet. Below the zevel, certainly zevel also, compost, it gets hot. What's interesting is the mission includes things that we would never have thought are considered to be heat sources, and yet includes it in mosif hava. Below the melach, below the seed.
Is it deliberately low as natural low?
Is what?
Is it deliberately low the melach as opposed to below the melach, or below the different category?
I don't know. Not that I ever saw anybody mention. Below the chol, bein lach and bein yaveshim, although the Yerushalmi had some comments about chol. Below the tevin, okay, tevin indeed oxidizes. Below the zagin, which is the equivalent in grapes of what the gefet is for the olive, could be the leftover pressed grapes. Below the mochin, that's really weird. Not in little pieces of material, of course, only if they're wet, as we'll see. Velo ba'asavim bisman she'en lachi. If they are wet, if they're damp. Avotonim ben kishem yaveshi. But you can be tomein in all of these latter cases, after the ben lachi and ben yaveshin, if these are dried. Now, you said gefet. Iboilu. Gefet shel zeitim tznan.
It's all on Erev Shabbos.
Even on Erev
Shabbos.
Yeah. So gefet shel zeitim tznan, avo de sumsumim shapir dami, o dilma de sumsumim tznan, hakoshken de zeitim. The word gefet is used for many types of oil leftovers, pressed fruits or other things, which would include sesame. So the normal, if you say gefet stam, I mean, I know that the thing that gets really hot is the gefet of zeitim. Does the mission mean only gefet zeitim? And sumsumin is not considered to be sufficiently mosif hava, or does it mean even sumsumin? Tashma di omer bizera mishum chad ve rabbianai, kupa shetaman ba asur lahanicha or gefet shel zeitim. If you have a container that you have covered with things, so let's say you have like an insulated blanket around something, you can't put that pot with its covering on top of gefet shel zeitim. So shema amina shel zeitim. Apparently it's only gefet shel zeitim. No, not at all. Miolam eimer lecha le'in hatmana adusum zmin amina, sir. We're talking about two different things over here, my dear friend. Here, you weren't matmin it in that. You were matmin it in whatever was insulated. Maybe mochin, foam rubber, I don't know. Now you're saying you don't want to put a heat source under it, because then it's mosif hava. That's not the same thing as hatmana in the thing itself. In other words, if I'm being matmin in the gefet of sumsumin, maybe that's hot enough. Over here you're saying as a secondary heat source to something which is beikar mechuseh with things that are not mosif hava, such as material or polyfill or something like that, then it doesn't matter if there's a little bit of heat being generated by the oxidation of sumsumin. There you'd need a significant heat source to answer it. That makes sense? But so that's in asuke havla. If you're talking about over here, you were matmin in polyfill. And you put that on top of gefet. Okay, so the only thing over there is that it's mala hevel. The heat rises from it, goes up into the pot that is now covered with the foam. Okay, so there is zeitim, and only zeitim maybe is hot enough to be maske havla. The sumsumin lo maske havla. But that doesn't prove that you can actually be matmin directly in the sumsumin, which would be an entirely different issue. And that does it for him and does it for this dog.
Is crock pot an issue?
No. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Ah, of course.